Well, as you can tell from our music this morning, we are focusing on Epiphany, which was yesterday, and we are going to be looking at Matthew's story in Matthew chapter 2 about the Magi, the wise men. And these Magi, they are savvy, they are sophisticated, they are smart seers from the East, Babylon, maybe, Persia, perhaps. But one of the things I like about this story is they are on a journey, just like you're on a journey, just like I'm on a journey. They're on a journey, and they know, generally speaking, what they're looking for. They don't have an exact roadmap on how they're going to get to their final destination, but they know why they are on the journey. And as you hear about discussions about productivity, as people talk about how to stay focused and to meet their goals, one of the key aspects that are highlighted is a person needs to know their why behind what they do. In other words, what is the motivation that drives you to do what you do, to allocate your time in this way, to give of yourself in this effort? Why sort of provides the focus to keep on going when you encounter obstacles, when you encounter setbacks, when you face struggle? The why kind of keeps us on the path of why we believe we're doing what we're doing, where we're willing to make the extra effort. If we lose our why, it's easier to lose focus, and it's easy to say, well, this isn't really working out. I'm not really all that invested in it, so maybe I'll just kind of shift over here. Maybe this will go better. But a why enables us to keep that perspective on why we do what we do. And these wise men had their why as they made that journey from the east to Jerusalem. And they arrive in Jerusalem looking for the child who was born king of the Jews. And even though they made it to Jerusalem, they're not sure where to continue looking. They're on the search for the great good king, but now they've encountered a pause point in their journey. Let us pray as we come to the message. Well, dear Lord, you know the joys and concerns, the burdens, the hopes, the dreams we bring into this house of prayer. Lord, speak to us gospel, speak to us good news, that we might hear your still small voice and be able to live into the love you give to us, and that we might be able to indeed pursue our why and to find our why in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we begin in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to sort of break it up in sections. The first verses we're going to look at are verses 1 and 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and came and have come to pay him homage." Some translations have the word worship, have come to pay him worship. And if we didn't know the story so well, and if we were hearing this story with first century Jewish ears, we would be taken aback. We'd be shocked. We would probably be offended. What in the world is Matthew doing introducing these pagans from a faraway country into the story of the people of Israel's Messiah, Jesus? Who invited them to the party? How did they get to be insiders, these outsiders? How is it that they're interested in the Messiah of the people of God? These people, after all, they may have some astronomy, but many commentators think they're primarily astrologers, they're magicians, they take seriously the zodiac, not the Jewish Torah, they're pagans, they aren't believers in the one true God of Israel. Matthew, we're talking about the Messiah, we're talking about presenting what God has done for the people of Israel. How have they shown up on the scene? Israel in the first century had nothing but contempt for such people, and here they come waltzing into the story. Magi, Gentiles, pagans. And it's interesting to note, as you read through the scriptures, nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament is the word Magi spoken of favorably. As an example, and if you're looking for something to do this afternoon or throughout or in the upcoming week, You might turn to Isaiah chapter 47 for an example of this. It's a whole chapter given over to the idea that you don't want to be enslaved to the constellation of the stars. Astrology will bind you. It will not free you. You've been liberated by Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. The good news is your fate is not determined by a certain constellation that was rising on your day of birth. You are not fated to have to live in a certain way. And I find this story interesting with the Magi, the star, and in our own culture, in our own time and place, how popular astrology is, and how people oftentimes slavishly check their horoscope and plan their day around some very generic description of what might happen. And this story invites us to consider not the stars, but the creator of the stars, and that in Christ, that's where we find our freedom and our purpose. So here they are, these pagan magi. And we have cause to rejoice today that they are in the story. Why? The magi are the walking pictures of God's all-embracing love and mercy. God's wide and extensive reach, God's call to the whole world to come and worship Christ, the newborn King. This narrative, the wise man coming to worship the Christ child, presents us a global gospel, not a very narrow sectarian gospel, but good news for the whole world. The arrival of these seers from the east declaring, Matthew, is that God's salvation is operating in a big, big way. And to realize that these Gentiles, these magi, are being included in the story by Matthew, that's actually being faithful to the scriptures. God prophesies this in the Old Testament, that he will engraft and bring in peoples from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Good news for all of us. An example would be the prophecy from Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, where we read, "I will show them," says the Lord, "I will show love," says the Lord, "to those who are called unloved. And to those called not my people, I will say to you, you are my people, and they will answer, you are our God." Here in this story, we see the expression of people coming to Christ to be invited into a personal relationship with God, where they will say to God, you are my God, and God will say, you are my people. This is an amazing turn. It is awesome good news to the whole world. The Magi were on a journey, and they had a general sense, as I mentioned, of where they wanted to go, but they had become disoriented. They had hit a dead end. They weren't sure where to go from here in Jerusalem. We're on a journey, and as we begin a new year, I would like to suggest that our sense of direction is determined by asking big questions. Again, as we talk to people who are in the business of trying to help people maximize their life and use their gifts and talents and be productive, they say it's helpful to look back to know where you've come from and understand some of the challenges and the successes that you've experienced that will help inform you and strengthen you as you go forward into the future. And so as we ask maybe some big questions as we embark on this new year, as we seek to take advantage of the gifts of life that God gives to us, I want to say that no matter how many new years you and I have enjoyed before, we do well to pause and simply rethink, what are the biggest questions that I find myself being driven by, or perhaps I should take more seriously? Where am I in my life? How did I get here? Where am I headed? Where should I be going? Now, someone might say, that's just a bunch of philosophical fluff. You know, really, how relevant is that to my life to ask these questions? Again, it's asking what is going on within us. What is our why? What is the sense of what God has placed us on this earth to do? To ask the questions, what are the gifts that God has given to each one of us? And how can we exercise those gifts? How can we develop those gifts? And how can we use them in a way in which God intended? We would never get on an aircraft if we didn't know the destination, at least not intentionally. Knowing whether one is going to Bermuda or Antarctica makes all the difference in terms of how you pack for the trip. We always want to know where we're going so we know what we need to bring on the journey. So too, in your life and in mine, as we begin the new year, again, it might be helpful to pause and ask the question, where am I? And where you are right now may be very different from where you were beginning of last new year. Think about someone who maybe have received a prognosis last year, and here they are this year. Maybe it was the year that you sat next to somebody, and now this morning, someone you love, that person is no longer sitting with you in the sanctuary. Maybe it was a year when the job simply vanished. Maybe it was a year when when promises were broken, and there's a certain curtain that drops down over the relationship, and the relationship goes in a different direction. It could be all kinds of ways where we are now that were different than where we were a year ago. Life doesn't stay static. And as we think about this new year, and what we want to give our best selves to that year, our story this morning provides us a beautiful picture of God guiding these magi. One of the Christian emphases is that we are not alone. God is with us on our life journey, and He is there to help us, to equip us, and to empower us if we will only turn to Him. And so this morning gives us a chance to pause and reflect on a very important Christian doctrine. Now, I hesitate to use the word doctrine because I'm afraid your eyes will glaze over. But doctrine just means right teaching, right understanding. And revelation plays a big part in who we know God to be. So as we think about this story, think of the star as God's creation. And God accommodates Himself to these magi, doesn't He? He meets them where they are. Now, God's not saying, here's an example of look to the stars, turn to the zodiac to find my will, to find out where the next big event is going to take place in your life. That's not it at all. But God accommodates Himself to these magi. He meets them, and then He providentially orchestrates them on their journey, and He leads them to Jerusalem, where they can encounter the Christ child, where they can encounter the love of God incarnate. The church calls this general revelation. It's very difficult for me to see how this universe could arrive by random chance. It almost takes more faith, gullibility even, to believe that somehow this whole universe, this galaxy, simply popped up and just simply happened to hang together perfectly so that life could take place here on planet Earth. There's a sense that there's a genius of a designer behind all this, and there's an awesome power that throws and holds this galaxy, not to mention the universe, together. There's this really interesting story by this one photographer, and he's written a book called Not by Chance. And along with the prose, he has some of his photography, and he shares this experience where he's at the Grand Canyon. And he's at a part of the Grand Canyon, and he's looking out over this majestic scene, and standing right next to him is a stranger, someone he's never met before in his life. And this person is obviously looking out over the same scene, and they're both awestruck. And he's thinking to himself, wow, the power and the wonder and the creativity of God. Look what God has done. And this person standing right next to him said out loud, isn't evolution amazing? Two people, same place, different perspectives. General revelation invites us to consider that there is a God, and that this God is all-powerful. This God is the perfect personification of wisdom, creativity, and beauty. But the Christian church also emphasizes that that general revelation is not enough to enter into a relationship with God. General revelation is not enough to experience and know God's love in your life. Because you can come up with, again, all kinds of conclusions as you look out on the wonders of this planet and you can speculate all you want. You can worship the sun or the moon or the stars or whatever it is you decide is somehow inspirational or meaningful to you, and actually miss Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, who created the very thing that is inspiring you. General revelation is important. It declares that there is a creator God, but we need a much more precise revelation, a more comprehensive compass, if you will, to understand who we are as human beings. God created us. Who are we as human beings? And to understand what it means to be in a relationship with this creator God. There's one element of the story that I find very fascinating that did not take place. God led the Magi to Jerusalem, but the star did not lead them uninterrupted to Bethlehem. God chose not to operate that way. God could have, you know, star could have taken them right to Bethlehem and they could have bypassed Jerusalem. But the star leads them to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, as the Magi are at a dead end, they turn to the religious leaders and they ask for directions. Some people have said that's another miracle in the story, that you have three men asking for directions. That reminds me, I just wanted to add on, as we know, the postcards of the wise men coming to the baby Jesus at the nativity scene. Just for our own edification, scholars think that this encounter took place a year or 2 years after Jesus was born. And as you read in the text, they went to a house, not to a stable, just as we understand the context a little bit better. And so we pick up in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, that the Magi had come, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." There is thick irony right here. These despised astrologers who have nothing but their natural ideas to sort of guide them on their journey that brought them to Jerusalem, they are led here by God's sheer grace. They hear these words of Scripture. The religious leaders who knew these passages backwards and forwards, they hear the same prophecy read. And of course, there's the evil King Herod as a part of that picture. And we learn that God has prophesied where the Messiah is going to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. But only the pagan Magi act on the Scripture that they heard. They're the ones who went to Bethlehem. The religious leaders, they stayed home in Jerusalem. You might say, well, they're busy. You know, Bethlehem, that might have been a kind of a significant distance, and it would really have taken them out of their religious responsibilities, so it's understandable why they didn't go. They missed seeing the Christ child by 5 miles. Bethlehem is 5 miles from Jerusalem, and they couldn't be bothered to go with the Magi to go see this child born King of the Jews, the one that had been long hoped for, the one they'd been praying for. And I can't help but wonder, wouldn't it have been amazing for these religious leaders in Jerusalem to say, you know what? We've been looking for this Messiah about whom you're speaking for a long time. We've been praying for it, and we're so excited by these developments that we're going to personally escort you to Bethlehem so we can all celebrate this child together. But we know, sadly, the religious leaders don't go. And once again, this is an instructive word that the Magi have for us today. Then in verses 7 and 10, "Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you find him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy." What a beautiful picture as these wise men, these Magi, encounter the promised Christ child. They were filled with overwhelming joy. And one New Testament writer says that this scene really is a should encapsulate the response of every person who encounters Jesus Christ authentically. An overwhelming sense of joy, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how difficult the past year has been. And I know for some, this past year has been very difficult. But there's a sense that joy always can commingle with sadness, and that joy can keep us from moving and spiraling down into despair. And we know that joy is different than happiness. Happiness is haphazard. Happiness is circumstantial. Happiness is when things go favorably with us. Joy draws from a deeper well, a surging, free-flowing well. It says, the Lord is with you. The Lord is at work redemptively in your life. The Lord is able to take the stuff of your life and make something out of it, no matter what it is. As we know from the Apostle Paul, who says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And in thinking about this message, the third stanza from Amazing Grace came to mind. It goes, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And the phrase that has been running through my mind is, grace will lead me home. What I see happening in the Magi story are people yearning for that which will give life, meaning, and joy to their souls. They are hoping for a place where they will be loved and received. They are yearning for home. They find themselves overwhelmed with joy as they come into the presence of a newborn king, and you can just get a sense that their whole orientation of how they understand life, how they plan to live life when they leave, has been transformed. And then the last two verses, 11 and 12, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Magi, they come and they bow the knee to this baby who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They worship him. What does it mean and what does it look like to worship God and to love God with all that we are? The Magi give us a beautiful picture of that. Their attitude and actions speak volumes to us. With joy and in humility, the Magi gave their very best to the child who has been born King of the Jews. Why? Jesus will later teach about this on the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is a beautiful picture as the Magi gave these lavish gifts to the Christ child. They were giving their hearts reflected by the gifts. And you and I are encouraged to think about as we go through this new year, as we give of our time and our talent and our treasure to God and what God is doing in the world, are our hearts behind the gift? Do we have an attitude of humility and joy of faith? Here in this moment, we see exactly where the Magi hearts are, and we do well as we go throughout the year to say, Lord, exactly where is my heart at this time? And as we begin this new year, my prayer for all of us is that we would take seriously God's revelation in our life through general revelation, God's creation, and special revelation, the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, where God has revealed his love and mercy, his holiness and righteousness. May this new year invite us to consider again, or maybe for the first time, who am I? How would you answer that? Let me ask you another question, which answers the question. Do you truly believe and live as a dearly beloved child of God? And then from who am I, whose am I? I belong to God. God is at work in my life, and there is absolutely nothing that can separate me from the love of my dear Savior Jesus. Do I live out that good news of whose I am? And just as God came to the Magi to show them the way back home, and again, the Magi took God at his word, by God's good grace, may we live this year with Jesus being our North Star, knowing that in Jesus we find our true home. Thanks be to God. Amen.